Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is common problems while configuring SSL and WebSphere Message Broker version 8. Today's presenters are Rao Nanduri and Elizabeth Arriaza. Rao has been a software engineer within the IBM WebSphere Message Broker and WebSphere Business Events product defect support team for the last several years. He was a co-author of a red paper on new features of Message Broker version 6.1 and delivers technical exchange presentations regularly on topics related to Message Broker. Elizabeth started working for IBM in 2007 for Tivoli support. She joined the Java Security Support Team in 2010 and is a CISSP certified professional. She focuses on troubleshooting customer problems on IBM Java security components like SSL, Kerberos, and cryptography functions. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Elizabeth. You may begin.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this presentation. And we will get started with slide 2, please. The agenda for today is to give an overview of the SSL protocol and the components. We will also explain SSL in JMS and TCP/IP nodes. We will also describe the SSL in web services. We also will discuss about 6 common SSL problems when configuring the message broker. And we will discuss about known defects. Slide 3, please. Okay, let's start talking about the SSL protocol. The SSL and the TLS protocols were designed to help protect the privacy and the integrity of the data while it is transferred across a network. It is very important to protect this data when it is critical and it can include information such as passwords and credit cards. When this data travels through the network, it can be easily accessed by someone who is not the intended recipient. So the SSL protocol allows two peers to communicate securely by providing authentication, encrypting the communication, and providing data integrity. When we say that we are providing authentication, it's because we can confirm the identity of a peer with whom we are communicating. This can be done through the use of the SSL certificate. When we say that we are encrypting the communication, it is because the client and the server agree on the same secret key that will be used to encrypt the data. This secret key is also encrypted using a server's public key, and only the server can decrypt this message since it is the server who contains the private key. And when we say that we are providing data integrity, it's because of the use of the cryptographic hash functions that are similar to a checksum. All of these items help resolve the concerns to transfer the data, the critical data across the networks. The SSL functionality is provided by the IBM Java Security Socket Extension component, which is called JSSE. And Message Broker uses this JSSC to provide the SSL support. Slide 4, please. So we're going to mention the necessary elements in the SSL communication. First, we have a key store, which is a database which will contain the private keys of the server. The SSL client can also have a key store if there is a mutual authentication enabled on the server side. We also have a trust store, which is also a database but will contain only a list of public keys of the trusted entities. For example, you will have VeriSign root certificates in this database. An example of how you are using these elements in the real life is when you connect to an online banking application through a browser, then the bank will present the server certificate to the browser, and the browser will look for this certificate in the trust store to verify that you are connecting to a known entity, and then it will allow the communication. The only supported format for these KeyStore and Trust Store files is the JKS format. Let's go to slide 5, please. In addition to the KeyStores and Trust Stores, we also need to specify the protocols and the cipher suites that will be used in each connection. For example, as a protocol, you can specify SSL version 3 or TLS version 1. And the cipher suite will contain information about the public key exchange algorithms, the secret key encryption algorithms, and also the hash functions that will be used. The client will tell the server which cipher suites it has available, and then the server side will choose the best mutually acceptable cipher suite. Slide 6, please. Okay, so in this slide, you can see the image that represents the SSL handshake. The first 13 steps are called the handshake, and after that, we will begin with the communication. So in the step 1, which is the client hello, the client side will send a message to the server, including the protocol and the cipher suite it has available. Then on step 2, the server will receive this request and then will choose the highest version of the protocol and the best cipher suite that both the client and the server support. And then we'll send this information to the client in the server hello message. Then in the step 3, the server side will send a client, will send the client a certificate or a certificate chain. The certificate chain begins with the server's public key and will end with the root certificate of the certificate authority. This message is used for the server authentication. Then the step 4 in the communication, if the server was enabled for mutual authentication, then it will send a certificate request message. Then on step 5, the server will send the client a server key exchange message. When the public key information is not sufficient for the key exchange. And the step 6, the server will tell the client that it has finished with the initial negotiation messages. On the client side, on the step 7, it will send a certificate back to the server if the server sent the certificate request. And in step 8, the client will generate information used to create the symmetric encryption. The client will then encrypt the key information with the server's public key and will send it back to the server. In the step 9, the client will send a message telling the server to complete the process of authenticating the client. In the step 10 and 11, the client will send a message to the server telling to change to the encrypted mode, and the same will happen on the server side. So with these 13 steps, we have completed the handshake. And after the handshake was successful, then both sites are ready to exchange data through the network. And when the communication is complete, both sites need to send a close notify message to inform the peer that the connection has been closed. An error or exception can occur in any place of this handshake due to several reasons. For example, if the client does not trust the certificate sent by the server, then the connection will be closed on the client side. We will go through some scenarios where this handshake may fail later in our presentation. I will turn over the presentation to Rao, and he will continue with the slide 7.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Slide number 7, please. Thank you. There are a number of interfaces to which one may want to configure the SSL while working with Message Broker. I'll briefly mention some of the generally used interfaces here. Even though there are a number of interfaces like WSRR or adapters that may use the SSL, but here I'm going to touch the Java messaging service, in which this is one of the important places where the users would like to have SSL implemented. The JMS nodes, like JMS input, output, or reply nodes in Message Broker, are supported in the JMS 1.1 specification, and these specifications do not provide features controlling or configuring message integrity or message privacy. JMS provides usually support these additional features, and one has to configure these services transparently to the JMS nodes. What I meant by transparent is without presenting the knowledge of the SSL connections between the provider and the client to the JMS nodes. The JMS providers pick up this SSL configuration from the broker environment. The configuration requirements would be different for different providers, and one has to refer the individual JMS provider documentation for the specific steps. In the Message Broker Info Center, it has been discussed on how one can configure SSL for TIBCO JMS provider. Slide 8, please. As I mentioned, there would be no configurable property for SSL on any of the JMS nodes. Here I mention a couple of possibilities that JMS providers can use to pass the SSL configuration information from within the broker environment. Since the JMS client will run in the JVM of the broker, we have to pass in any environment settings needed for the client via MQSI JVerbose or MQSI JVM options environment variable depending upon the OS on which the broker is located. Optionally, one can use the configurable service property as well. Let me review the steps involved in the JMS SSL configuration briefly here. The JMS nodes use JNDI to look up a connection factory object that is used to create JMS connections to a provider server. The JMS connection factory definitions needs to be updated with appropriate connection details like specifying the SSL protocol in the server URL, and if the client authentication is enabled, that has to be mentioned as well. Once the details fed, one can generate the JNDA objects, administered objects, using the provider's administrative tools. The step is completed, then we configure the JMS node property, location JNDA bindings with the URL that points to the JNDA bindings containing the JNDI administered objects for SSL connectivity. Keep the JMS provider's client jars and SSL vendor jars in a directory and set this in the JMS provider's configurable service property jars URL using a MQSI create configurable service properties command or MQSI change properties command. If anyone is looking for SSL configuration details for any specific JMS provider, you can write to us, and I'll be compiling an article for a blog in the coming weeks. File number 9, please. The other interface that is being picked rapidly in the recent months is TCP/IP. Even though the TCP/IP is a non-transactional, non-persistent communication protocol with no built-in security options, it is becoming popular because, as we all know, it's fast and good for low-bandwidth, small device data transfer applications. The message broker, with the support of a number of client and server TCP/IP nodes, can act as a router and help building a flexible communication architecture with TCP/IP transport connectivity. TCP/IP communications can be configured to use SSL for secure connectivity using the TCP/IP nodes. You can implement SSL in both client and server TCP/IP connections by creating configurable services on the respective services. Type of protocol and allowed cipher suites can be defined while creating the configurable service as shown in the slide. By default, SSL is not enabled for any of the configurable services, and all the TCP/IP nodes use the standard broker, key store, and trust store configurations. Slide number 10, please. Here, I would be touching broadly the SSL configuration for web services. Before reviewing the general problems that users usually report for the resolution, here, let me talk, because this part of the SSL authentication and configurations have been discussed in a number of times on this webcast platform and also a number of other platforms. In an SSL authentication between a web server and a client server, presents a key from its key store to the client, and it gets verified against the list of keys in a trust store, as Elizabeth mentioned in her introductory remarks. In cases where a client authentication is required, the client would present the keys and would be verified by its server as well. This is besides the server authentication mechanism. The trust store and key stores in the message broker are set by MQSI change properties command either at the broker level or at the execution group level. The details of this configuration have been already discussed, as I said, in a number of places, and I won't go into the details of them right now. If these stores are defined at execution group level, they take precedence over the broker registry level definitions for SOAP nodes. However, for HTTP nodes, the HTTP nodes only pick up the store configurations at the broker registry level. Let's go to the file number 11. Here, I'm going to the IBM JSSC 2 provides a flag to debug the SSL connections using -d javax.net debug flag. And in broker environment, we can set this up as an environment variable using export IBM Java options is equal to this flag, setting as true. And this will and restart the broker. Once it's restarted, the debug JSSC to debug will be enabled, and the traces will be returned to the stdout file in the EGUUID directory of the broker components. Slide number 12, please, and this will be handled by Lizette.
Thanks, Ralph. Okay, now we will describe 6 common problems when using SSL in Message Broker. The first problem that we are going to discuss is about when the SSL client does not trust the SSL server. When this happens, the exception that will be shown on the SSL client logs is shown in the slide. And this means that the client was not able to find a trusted certificate in the trustor. Now let's go to slide 13. So what we are going to do to start troubleshooting this problem is we are going to enable the JSSE debug as Rao mentioned, and then we are going to review the system out or STD out logs, and we are going to look for the certificate chain that was sent from the SSL server. And this slide shows an example of this certificate chain. Let's go to slide 14. Then we are going to look for the trustor initialization in our client-side logs, and we are going to look for the list of certificates that were loaded. And as you can see in this case, in this example, the exception is occurring because this trustor does not contain the server-side certificate. Let's go to the slide 15. So in order to resolve this problem, what we need to do is to import the server certificate into the client's trustor. And you can use several tools like IKeyMan or KeyTool. And this slide shows an example of how you can use the KeyTool command to import this server certificate. Let's go to the slide 16. The other common problem, the problem number 2, is when the server side was configured for mutual SSL authentication, which means that the client also needs to present a certificate to the server. And this is one of the exceptions that you can see on the server-side logs. It's a null cert chain message. Let's go to the slide 17. So what we're going to do is to troubleshoot this problem is to enable, again, the debug flag on the client side, and we are going to look for the certificate request message. As we described previously, this message is only sent when this mutual authentication is enabled, and you can see the format of this message in this slide. This message will contain a list of the certificate authorities that are trusted by the server. So on the client side, we need to have a personal certificate that is issued by any of these certificate authorities. Let's go to the slide 18. Okay, so basically here we are just describing what I just said, that we need to have this personal certificate. It will be a private key, but it will be signed by any of the certificate authorities that you saw on the previous slide. Let's go to slide 19. On the to resolve this problem, we are going to create a personal certificate using any of the tools that you have available, such as IKeyMan or KeyTool. And then we need to send this certificate request to the certificate authority for signing, and then we will import that into the client's key store to be able to finish the handshake. Let's go to the slide 20. Another problem related to the mutual SSL authentication is when the certificate chain on the client side is not complete. And we will see the same exception on the server log, which is the null cert chain. Let's go to the slide number 21. Okay, so we are going to enable the debug flag on the client side, and we can look for the key store initialization to verify that we do have a personal certificate. And you can see an example on this slide. We are going to look for the found key for message in the logs, and it will display all the personal certificates that you have on your key store. And we can see in this example that we only have one key, and the certificate chain contains only one certificate. Let's go to the slide 22. Another tool that we can use to validate the chain is the key tool utility. And you can see the command on this slide on how you can show the contents of this key store. And again, we can see that we have a certificate, a private key in this key store, but the certificate chain only contains one certificate. And you can see the owner or subject is different from the issuer, which means that at least we should have two certificates in the chain. Let's go to the slide 23. So we're going to review in the logs the list of the certificate authorities that was sent by the server. And as you can see in this slide, none of these certificate authorities matches with the issuer that we have on our key store. Let's go to the slide 24. In the example that we created, we want to have a chain of three certificates. But as we saw on the previous slides, we only have one certificate in our chain, and that is why this certificate was not sent back to the server, because the chain was not complete. You can see that the chain number 2 contains the root certificate, and that one is trusted by our server. Let's go to slide 25. So what we need to do to resolve this problem is to complete the certificate chain, because otherwise the JSSE provider will not find a match to send to the server. And to fix this chain, we have two options. We can ask the certificate authority to fix the chain and send us the correct certificate reply. Or if we have all the certificates of the chain, then we can complete the chain using the steps that we will describe. Let's go to the slide 26. So if we want to use the option number 2 to fix the chain for ourselves, there is a procedure that will basically import all your certificates in the Internet Explorer browser, and then we can export the certificate chain in a PKCS7 format. This format will contain the complete chain that we can then import to our key store, so it can complete the chain. You can see these steps on this slide, and they are. You can follow these steps in the URL that I put there for you. Okay, let's go to the slide 27. The next problem, the problem number four, is when we see the certificate unknown error in the traces, and we also see this extended key usage does not permit the use of TLS client authentication message. What this error means is that the certificate is being used, you're trying to use this certificate in the client authentication. However, the extended key usage extension is configured for the server authentication. Therefore, the server side will reject this certificate because it is not acceptable to authenticate an SSL client. We will see this extension, how it looks like in the next slide. Let's go to slide 28, please. Okay, this slide explains a little bit about this extension. The extended key usage extension indicates the purpose of the certificate. The extension can be either critical or non-critical. And for a certificate to be marked for use for server authentication only, the certificate must be configured with the critical flag set to true, and it needs to have a specific identifier value, which is shown in this slide. The client authentication purpose has its own identifier value, which is also shown in this slide. Let's go to the slide 29. In this current scenario, we can see the extended key usage extension, and we can see that this certificate was created for the purpose of the server authentication, but we are trying to use it to authenticate a client, and that is why this error was shown. So to resolve the problem, the certificate needs to be regenerated, setting this critical flag to true, and configure it for the purpose of the client authentication. Okay, let's go to slide 30. Another problem that we have seen is when there is a misconfiguration on the use of the cipher suite. One common problem is when you can see the JSSC trace showing this handshake failed message, showing a null cipher suite. So to be able to establish the handshake successfully, as we have mentioned, there must be at least one cipher suite in common between the server and the client. Otherwise, the handshake will fail. And as we can see in this slide, if the SSL version 3 or TLS version 1 ciphers are used, then the SSL version 2 support is disabled. And when the SSL version 2 ciphers are specified, then the SSL version 3 and TLS version 1 support is disabled. And let's go to slide 31. And the last problem that we will discuss during this session is when the SSL session is being resumed with a wrong protocol version. The SSL sessions can be resumed for performance problems. So, for example, if you need to establish a connection and then you know that you need to reestablish the connection later, you can resume this connection so you don't have to send all the handshake messages again. But you need to use the same protocol when you are trying to resume the connection. So, for example, if your first connection was established using the SSL version 3 protocol, then all your subsequent connections need to use that protocol, because if you change that, you will see these exceptions. And this can also be due to a bad configuration on the remote site or to a security attack on the network firewall. Okay, I will turn this presentation over to my colleague Rao to continue with the next slide.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Let's go to the slide 32. Here, the Java Net SSL SSL exception with array index outbound exception has been reported in version 8.01 when the client authentication is enabled, and we raise an APAR to fix this problem. Besides this, we don't have any reported APARs, report problems for which the APARs have been raised. Can we go to the next slide, please? 33. So to end this discussion, let me summarize the main points. The message broker provides SSL functionality through JSSE2 component of the IBM JVM for authentication, data integrity, and encryption in its communication with a number of its interfaces. And we can use the message broker configurations to troubleshoot the SSL handshake failures using JSSE2 debug facility, as we have discussed. Slide 34, please. So here we summarized some of the reference material for important ones. Or we have been actually within IBM. There are a lot of encouragement for writing, coming up with the blogs and the message broker blog. You can review the timely updates and the functional parts of the product. A number of articles have been coming up, and you can review the blogs, the message broker blog, and also the Info Center developer works articles as well. The next slide, 35, will give some additional WebSphere product resources that you may find it useful. May I pass to David?
Thank you, Rao and Elizabeth, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You can also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Lori, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you, sir. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw the question, you may press star 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question is from Craig Reynolds. Sir, your line is open.
Oh, thank you. We have broker on the mainframe. We would probably want to do some sort of debugging in a single execution group. We have a test broker that has about 23 or 25 execution groups. We had downloaded slide 11, I think, in advance. It doesn't look quite the same as yours. We were trying to figure out if there's a way for us to change that environmental variable on just one execution group. Can you explain that?
Thank you for the question. And since this is an environment variable setting, this is going to be valid for the whole broker. But of course, being said that, this is for the Windows and the Unix distributed operating systems. There are some changes in the ZOS operating system to operate at an execution group level. I'm not quite sure if this particular debugging can be done at execution group level, but I will be able to check for you and get back to you on that.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Doug Swift.
Yes, the APAR that was mentioned, I think it was on page 33, is that addressed in the latest fix pack of message broker 0.0.0.2?
I need to check whether it has gone or not, but in the APAR's list that is in the public URL, you can check for this APAR, but I don't believe it went into the fix pack too, but if it is there, then it'll be there. I can check, but unfortunately I didn't check that.
Okay, thanks.
But I can get back to you if you can send me an email and get and reply you back.
Okay, thanks.
There are a couple of questions on the chart. If nobody is there, I can pick them up.
I don't think we have a question on the phone right now, so go ahead, Ralph.
Why we need a third-party version, third-party certificates for validating in message broker?
Okay, thank you for the question. Well, you don't need to have a certificate authority signed certificate. It is a good or best practice to have your certificate signed by a known authority because most of the SSL clients already contain a copy of this trusted certificate. For example, on your browsers, you don't need to import the VeriSign or Global Sign certificate. They are already there. The same is with the default key stores and trust stores in Java. So all the known and certificates are already imported for all the clients, and then when you establish the communication between the client and the server, the client then will automatically trust the communication. Now, if you want to use a self-signed certificate, you can also do that, but you need to provide a copy of this certificate to all your clients so you can establish this handshake.
The other question is, can the broker be set to override the extended usage? I don't think a broker can override it because JSSC is part of the JSSC too. And right at this moment, I don't believe we can do it. But if we raise an APAR, then I can address this in a different line.
And then I see one more question in the group chat. What needs to configure in the client WAS to enable SSL connection with the broker server?
Uh-huh. As I said in the discussion, can we go to the slide on web services? So for the client authentication, besides the server authentication, in the server authentication, the keys are presented by the server, and it will be checked against the trust store entries in the client side. In the client authentication, the client will present the keys to the server, and the server that will be validated and checked against the list of certificates in the trust store on the server. So it depends on what nodes you'll be using, whether it is SOAP or HTTP request node. You will have to configure, and the configuration steps have been discussed in earlier webcast presentations.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Rao and Lisbeth, for presenting today.
Thank you, David.
Thank you all.
And thank you, everyone, for participating on today's conference. The conference has concluded. You may disconnect at this time.